Welcome to the Beautiful Podcast. Today we're going to talk about a little film called Tango and Cash.
If people stopped listening right in between when you said Tango and Cash, they would think we were just about to talk
about the last Tango in Paris.
Or just Tango.
Or is
the dance.
Yes. We're going to talk about True Lies and the Tango scene.
Oh my gosh. We should watch True Lies sometime.
Yeah, that would be a good one. I'd be game to watch True Lies.
So we were going to watch Demolition Man.
But the commentary was stuck.
No, but the four discs.
Blame Rachel for that.
The four movie.
Dare you.
Set I have.
Broke the DVD.
Of terrible Sylvester Stallone movies. The Demolition Man disc is like stuck on commentary. You can't switch it off. I don't want to listen to some hack director and some hack producer talk about. Like, I was almost thinking about listening to it, but I was listening to what they were saying.
Mm-hmm. And it was
they're like,
stupid.
The first thing you see is the burning Hollywood
sign.
Yeah,
because it's 1999.
Yeah, and they're like, we thought this would be good because it's like the burning of America and the burning of our culture and institutions. And I was like, beep.
You're like, fuck this.
Like, these guys should be talking about why this is such a shitty movie. This movie sucked. It was awesome to make.
We could have watched The Rock.
Hey.
If we were watching The Rock, it wouldn't even be over yet.
Yeah.
Not really, but almost.
It would have, you know, and we'd have to talk about
so big.
Talk about the prom queen and everything else. So we watched Tango and Cash instead. That was not
that
my
was
decision. I enjoy Tango and Cash in a non-ironic / ironic way, which I have trouble with the ironic ironic sensibility for justifying why you like something, because I think ultimately it's just that you do like it. You know, like.
I like how bad it is. Is that what you're saying?
Partially, but like it's got a grappling hook in it. That's awesome, right?
That's not awesome. That's stupid.
No, grappling hooks are awesome. See,
if
I actually think
the movie
would
have been better.
Possibly. No grappling hooks.
Because here's what happened. No. The guy would have popped up, done the grappling hook thing. That'd be fine. After he kills him, they do the same shot of him running.
Mm-hmm.
I would have had a second guy pop up and trip him again.
And then
have
the
to
movie.
Fight again.
Oh,
and then, then he'd get away. But
no, okay. Yeah. And that's the only change.
That's all I
yeah.
That and all the dialogue.
So
I love the dialogue.
The reason that Tango that's and Cash funny. Is awesome is because the first 8 minutes there are two car chases.
That's not the reason why. That's what you like about it.
That's one of the many reasons. That's just the teeth from the get go. You got
that's just the icing on the cake.
That's the cake. The icing comes later. You've got Sylvester Stallone and Kurt Russell, Hollywood bad boy Kurt. No, I'm just kidding. He's not Mickey Rourke. They are getting set up by this drug dealer because they're the two rogue cops. Like, one's from the east and one's from the west part of L.A. or something stupid like that. And one's kind of like proper and has stocks and stuff. And the other one wears suits, and that's Sylvester Stallone. And the other one's kind of like he wears cowboy boots and jeans, and he's sort of a down home type. You know, he's less refined apparently. But they're both.
He brought me to amnesiac women to into thinking that they're his wife.
Yeah.
He kind of date rapes them.
Yes.
He's not a good man in Overboard, just so you know.
Yeah, I don't think he's a good man in Overboard.
Okay.
But I don't care either way.
So it starts like that. And then it quickly turns into something deeper. A kind of a morality tale, a character
exactly.
study.
It's got a guy with a giant chin.
He's a huge chin.
Then
that guy's what am I trying to say? A mainstay on Mystery Science Theater movies. There's a bunch of them.
That makes sense. So they get set up by Jack Palance, the drug dealer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got like two or three other like good, like name drug dealer type guys with him. He doesn't have drug dealer guys.
Sanders' dad from Wayne's World.
Sanders.
Some greasy Italian.
But he's been in some other stuff and played a bad guy. But yeah. I don't remember.
But mainly Wayne's World.
Wayne's World, Cassandra's dad guy. Yeah, the Asian
World
guy.
Two.
Wayne's World 2. Sorry, yeah. He did not wait get that sneaker phone.
No.
They're set up. They're sent to prison. They're put into a general because like 90% of the people in there are people that they busted. So
you forgot to say something.
In a really bad situation.
What kind of gun does Kurt Russell have?
Oh,
he's got a pistol.
He's got a pistol
with that gigantic
laser sight connected to it.
Gigantic. It's bigger than the gun.
Presumably, Kurt Russell is a terrible shot. I guess they never really referenced this.
Because here's the thing. Like,
you can aim a gun and look at the sights and be like, ah, there he is, and shoot him. But you can't with a huge laser sight. That means he has to look at the side of the gun and just make sure that the red dot is pointing toward the person, right?
Yeah.
He should have like a laser dot and then like a little portable scope that he has to look at to look at the laser dot on somebody else.
It's compensating for the corner.
He has a heads-up display on his head that attaches to the laser sight.
Compensating for the Coriolis effect or something like that.
Wires everywhere.
No good, no good.
Coriolis effect. So, He's sniping guys 2 miles away with his pistol. Yeah. By the way, speaking of
Quigley Down Under, so.
Have you seen the previews for that new Angelina Jolie Assassins movie?
Wanted. Oh, with what's his name? Wanted. And with Morgan Freeman? And
yeah. So, Wanted. I at first I was thinking, nah, this looks really dumb.
Yeah.
And then I see the point where she tells the guy, shoot the bullet around me. And he like flings his arm like this and it shows the bullet go, whee! And I was like, yeah! is retarded.
It's got like James McAvoy or something. The guy from Atonement.
McAvoy,
McAvoy. I don't know. Might be interesting.
Yeah,
it's a fun, stupid movie about
flings bullets and stuff.
About a geek that like, learns how to be an awesome cat.
I don't.
Yeah, I do.
Based on a graphic novel or something,
that's,
I think.
That's dumb. I don't want to see it anymore.
Yeah, it sounds pretty stupid.
What do you mean? They can't fling bullets. What are you talking about?
But he does.
No, he doesn't.
In the preview, he does.
The preview he doesn't
shoot the bullet. He goes like this. He flings his arm.
He uses gun kata. He uses advanced level like.
You must have seen a different gun preview.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw the first preview.
Point is, Tango and Cash are stuck in GP with a bunch of other people. And then the guards get paid off. And so they get pulled down into the laundry room where there's all steam and they're getting electrocuted and they're going to be killed by a bunch of people. Jack Palance has essentially set it up so that they kill... They
and he's there, too.
They get disgraced, sent to prison, and then killed in prison. but they don't end up getting killed. They manage to escape. They go their separate ways for a while. Then they come back together. They figure out who the guy that set them up. And then there's some stuff about Terry Schiavo trying to... No, what's her name? Terry Garr,
Hatcher.
Terry Hatchett. So Terry
Hatcher.
So Terry Hatcher is
Molly Hatchett.
So Molly Hatchett. So Molly Ringwald is given what's his name a massage, and I guess 90% of the time, if two people are giving a massage, it's going to result in sex. But this case, it doesn't happen because she just gets to the part where she pops a disc.
Is that really true?
I don't know. I don't. She didn't remember what she read.
That was a real statistic.
Why? And then more stuff happens. Clint Eastwood's old buddy's in it with the weird eyes. And then, speaking of weird eyes and weird looking, we get Clint Howard in it for a few seconds. But he's one of the prison ex guys. So that was a little before then. Then they both realize who it is. They go talk to the Q for LAPD, who's got all the nifty weapons, and he's got this car that he's done. And they're like, okay, we're going to take this.
He's got a big, huge magnifying glass over his eyes. Always. He's crazy.
So, he's kooky. He's a little different. Yeah. He's not playing with a full deck, you know? instead of a Jack and an Ace, he's got a Tango and a Cash or something. Then they got their Monster Mobile thingy, which looks like kind of a weird car. With a camper shell. You pointed out it's got a bulletproof camper shell. So when they're all done, they can just, like, camp out and chill, and they're good.
They just hang out the camper.
They attack Jack Palance's lair, which is, like, a dune buggy place. It's got all kinds of, like, jumps and mud pits and things. It's like a quarry. I don't know what the pretense for it is.
He owns a car lot or whatever.
No, he doesn't own a used car lot.
Does he use car lot?
And then they get... have car. They have car... They have cars attack him in the Burma war zone, and then they drive into the thing, and then Jack Palance sets off the self-destruct for his lair, and then they have to kill some other guys, including the British guy who's not British from Time Rider. He's supposed to be trying really hard to be British because he tries to use every British colloquialism that he can, like, you know, like, that bloke with me, where I hanging out with that guy, he's the governor, you know, like, okay.
Sounds Australian.
Yeah, he sounds like an idiot. Australia. But they fooled him with bad cop, worst cop, which no one saw coming.
What was the obvious line in that part? Like, this guy's serious, or this guy's the real deal, or something like that.
Section 8. Crazy. He was a Section 8.
You're a Section 8. He's like, you're for real, man. You're totally crazy.
And so then...
I'm never hanging out with you again. And he walks away. And the guy says, okay, I'll talk. He goes, hey, man, you just fell for the oldest trick in the book. And then they do the red eyes thing.
They almost high-five, but they haven't high-fived yet. They've almost high-fived like four times. They're growing to get along.
This is almost like the thing in Hot Fuzz. Yeah. These guys have this almost sexual relationship. For them to fulfill it and to, what's the word when you finally do it with a chick?
Climax?
No.
It's, consummate?
Yeah. To finally consummate this relationship of theirs, they have to high five. Uh-huh. They don't get to. At the very end of the movie, when they high five, then cuts to another picture of them high five, so you can tell they high five all the time.
And in public, they're not ashamed. In public,
they don't care. No, they just hold hands.
So that's the end. Walk around together. That's the ending. But let's skip to the ending. The almost ending is that then they kill some guys, the main bad guys, and then they kill Jack Palance. They use the old Conan the Destroyer trick where they shoot at the right mirror. They aim for his kneecaps, which means that they want to shoot him in the head. So if a cop ever says, "Hey, I'll shoot you in the kneecaps if you don't stop that,"
be careful. Cover your head.
Because he's going to shoot you in the head.
Quick, put your hand
in front of your head, and that'll block the bullets. Yeah. You wear Kevlar gloves, right?
Yeah. By the way, it says he doesn't use his mind. He's a really good aim.
Because it's all the training. It's probably
his thing in the comic and in the movie is that his dad was like Bullseye from the...
No, but they can still move bullets Daredevil and stuff.
No, it says right here. That's what it is.
I'm just saying, they can still move bullets when they're in midair.
Whatever it says here.
That sounds really stupid.
No, remember in the trailer where Morgan Freeman was shooting up like the pig? Like there was a pig in between him and the target, right?
Angelina Jolie telling the guy to shoot the bullet around her.
Can we just show the trailer?
Let's just not do that right now. Let's finish the fucking podcast.
The point is, the guy can't change anything with his mind. He's the best shot in the world.
Well, maybe not the mind, but the bullets move in midair.
So they kill Jack Palance, they free Sylvester Stallone's Terry Schiavo, and... And then they're all good, and they high five. They fight for love. They red ice it. And Tango Cash is a great movie. It's got a lot of nifty stuff like grappling hooks and car chases.
It was only 96 minutes
it's,
long.
It's nifty and short. It's competently terrible directed.
Dialogue.
It's got it's fantastically awesome. Humorless dialogue. It's actually really funny.
Well, they think it's funny. That's the greatest thing.
Yeah, they think it's funny.
They call each other really cool things.
Uh-huh. They occasionally call each other really stupid things. It's not on the level.
There's a lot of penis envy in it.
It's not on the level of Casey Jones and Donatello fixing the car in the first Ninja Turtles movie, where like they did it in alphabetical order, you know, hose brain and things like that.
This totally needed Corey Feldman in it.
It did. It needed Corey Feldman. It needed Corey Feldman, Raul Julia, and
maybe Rob Schneider. And they could both have their own annoying side.
It needed Bennett from Commando. Yeah. That would have been good stuff because he actually was like Australian. That would have worked.
You like the part where English,
I don't know, doesn't matter.
They both flick their cigarettes at the same time
at the cop,
and it bounces off his face, and he's like, "Whoa, yeah, that's sexy!" And there's all those cops around there. If you bounce cigarettes off a cop's face, they're probably going to shoot you,
bust you big time, yeah, or shoot you definitely. In LA, they would, right?
Yeah,
and beat you within an inch of your miserable life. Tango Cash, it's fantastic. You should check it out. Good stuff.
Blaine, what was your favorite part about Tango and Cash?
The dialogue.
Name some.
I don't remember. I remember that it was awesome.
One thing that really bothers me about them... I can't say that straight face.
Why don't you try?
All right. So, I mean, it looks like one of those 80s action movies. It's got the filter.
Yeah, it's got the... It looks like Last Action Hero did, yeah, you know?
It totally does. They got that right. It's just like it's a rated R action movie,
mm-hmm.
And I think only one person that was shot actually had like an explosion like come out of them.
Not enough blood for you, huh?
There was
a couple handfuls of tits, and then there was a little bit of cursing, and that was really why it got.
Well, but I'm talking about in terms of the violence. Like,
yeah, the violence was
it wasn't like
kind of cartoony.
It wasn't John McTiernan level gunshot wounds.
He didn't direct it, did he?
No. Not at all. It was Andrei Kubatschmak.
Yeah.
Who, as Blaine said after the movie ends, he came all the way to America to make this one film.
And then
this was his dream ever since childhood. I want to make Tango and Cash.
And now I've made it.
It is my dream from home country.
They probably said that Kurt Russell and Sylvester Stallone
would be a good combo. That's exactly what they did.
Genius.
They were.
I got a great idea for a movie.
They were going on
it's
like
Kurt Russell and Sylvester Stallone.
They were going on They went on Arsenio and they sold it together. I've seen like a clip from it for some reason.
I wonder what that guy directed after Tango and Cash.
So, do you remember his name? Oh, you just
look it up.
You'll look up Tango and Cash, and then that'll do it.
It was
directed by Andrei Konchalovsky,
mm-hmm.
Oh, Albert Magnoli took over in later stages of the film because this guy couldn't hack it. What the hell? He was born in 1937?
An old guy.
This guy's 1,000 years old.
That's, he probably died. That's probably what happened.
No, he's still alive. He's 70. Okay. He's an acclaimed Russian filmmaker. He's acclaimed.
In Russia, which is not very hard, I guess. Right?
Blah, 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 blah. Popular Hollywood releases A Runaway Train based on Kurosawa's original script. And Tango and Cash.
That's it.
And then he went back to Russia.
Really?
Yeah.
Russians.
He's been married multiple times, you can tell.
He was like, hey, I directed Tango and Cash.
He lived with Shirley MacLaine for a while. You can tell. He left her for Natasha Kinski. Okay, here's what Wikipedia says.
Uh-oh.
Tango is a smooth, organized businessman who spends the morning with the Wall Street Journal, while Cash is a sloppy bachelor in the tradition of Martin Riggs. They were trying for that, don't you think?
They really were.
But they didn't really work because you don't have a Murtaugh to his Riggs.
No, you don't.
And Murtaugh was like...
He was a family man, and he was old. He was a browbeaten
family man who was trying to keep it together, basically. Mm-hmm. And Tango is not that. He's just as... self-confident and asshole. Yeah. It's like two Riggs.
It's pretty much like two Riggs, except one wears a suit and pretends he cares about stocks sometimes. It really...
Well, what's so stupid is that, like, it doesn't give these guys any motivation to, like, do the stupid things they do. Like, like, the very beginning of the movie opens with them chasing people for no reason, out of their jurisdiction. Like, in that part in the beginning where he's chasing the truck and they're like, hey man, you're not your jurisdiction anymore. He's like, I don't care. Then he does something totally reckless and stupid, and probably would have realistically killed him. Because the only thing that doesn't kill him is they slam on the brakes and they fly out of the car. You know?
Yeah.
They're hero cops, so.
What does that mean?
It means they get to win. Yeah. It's 80s wish fulfillment.
They're winners.
Normal people die all the time.
Remember when that guy...
Here, unseen by the police, mob boss Perrette drives by in his limo, complaining about Tango stopping his shipment. And if it's not Tango, then it's Cash. Mm-hmm. That's what it actually says.
Yeah.
What's funny is that, like, I don't think at any time in the movie, except for in the prison, is Jack Palance not with the Asian and the Italian-looking guys. Mm-hmm. They're always there.
They're homies.
He was, they did that video conference.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. They're in the same scene with him right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the thing is this. Like, this guy's got this thing for, like, mice and stuff.
Actually, you don't know if they weren't with him in the jail, because it was, like, all shadowy and stuff. They might have been
there. I think they probably were. They were his homies. Yeah, they were right and left hand. And then he's got his mice. He's got Tango and Cash that he has.
So he does this. Yeah, he's named his mice Tango and Cash. He puts them in a
maze.
He tells them, hey guys, these guys Tango and Cash, they're going to cause us a lot of trouble. And they're like, let's kill him. And he goes, no. Let's do this complicated James Bond scheme that they can easily escape from, and that'll humiliate them, and then it'll kill them.
Yeah.
And then we won't be blamed. And they're like, doesn't sound too solid. I don't think he's like, look at these rats. I don't think this is such a great idea. And then he distracts them with mice. And he says, check this out. And he puts them in a maze. And they just leave it at that. And then he laughs a little bit. And then later on, the guy with the terrible British accent, who's not British.
Time Rider guy.
Yeah. He comes up and he goes.
President Time Rider.
He gives him like a cigar box. So he's talking to the guys on the phone. He's like, get out of here. Smack. And turns off his teleconference thing by slapping the controller. And it turns to static. And then, the guy gives him a cigar box, and he opens it up, and then there's the mice, and he starts kissing him and stuff. Like, he really is weird with the mice. And then the only other time you really see Jack Palance, besides those few scenes, is when they break into their compound, and they're driving through, and it shows him, it just repeatedly cuts to him staring at the screen going, come on, you sons of bitches! Come on!
He's rooting for his side, his team. Like an old man, he's got his glasses on his head. Like some old...
And I like that, like,
Grandpa they watching set up the so football that the game.
Last few guys they have to fight are those like henpecked mob guys, the Asian and the Italian guy, who are supposed to be like marksmen. I don't know. Like they were just mob guys who were like
they get gunned
this
down.
This is getting too risky, Perrette. We don't want to part of it anymore. And he's like, yes, you'll do it anyway. This is the perfect plan. And then they run in there and they shoot those. They run in there and they shoot those guys to death. They shoot them to shit. And then. You know, one of them gets Kurt Russell a little bit, gives him a little bit of an exit wound to deal.
And then,
that's the end of Tango and Cash.
That's pretty much it. Oh, and then they kill, you know.
We already talked about the end of Tango and Cash. I already did that
part. Yeah, I know, but you were the way you said it was really uninteresting.
I know, but because it wasn't talking.
No. I just want to point out, like, the things that any normal screenwriter would have, like, it's just not a normal type of movie. Like,
no, it's
the
not.
The action movie is not normal. This leads back to the Under Siege 2 thing. You got really powerful henchmen. They actually did it. I think they might have done it right in this one. The crazy British guy who wasn't British is the second to last guy they face, I think.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they grenade him.
Yeah. It still doesn't seem right. That's the way they write it. That's the way Under Siege 2 was. It's the same thing. You get that guy. You get the guy who's actually dangerous out of the way.
Yeah.
And there's the guy who's not dangerous at all. Then you kill him.
You shoot him in the head.
And this was like a little more dangerous because he has Terry Hatcher. She keeps escaping and then going right to another bad guy who grabs her.
Yeah. It's all she can do.
They do the not only do they shoot him in the head, though, balance, they double shoot him in the head.
Double,
they both hit him right
double
there.
Double tap. If you better be sure.
Two in the head, you know he's dead.
Better be sure. That's how you know.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking A.
Exactly.
It's the only way to be sure.
Who do you think was better in this movie, Tango or Cash?
I like Kurt Russell for legitimate.
I like Stallone because he had the nicer ass.
Jesus. So, yeah, Russell's ass was a little paler. And I
you
swear
could tell he didn't.
I swear there was some cellulite on there. I swear. I rewound that scene.
It wasn't very
tough. How many times? 10?
Way too many times.
Yeah, enough.
It was enough.
I like ass.
Like my ass.
I should have called it Tango and Ass, am I right?
I think so.
That'd be pretty good. Call it Tango and Ass. That's a good idea.
There we go. Just do that with all my DVDs.
I'm glad we didn't include this in a
Master Series.
Master Series, because this isn't a Master Series film. It's right below. It's maybe in the.
I would consider it a Master Series. You're a pretentious.
It's a little below just because
snooty guy. So you
it's
know.
Because the lines that they say to each other aren't
great.
Yeah, but they're not so stupid that you are like, yay. But what they are is really annoying because they say things and like after each thing they say, it's like they're going, huh.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, well, and then everyone's like, and they just kind of do that to each other all movie. Like,
it's just, huh.
Like, guess what? F you, yeah. No, you.
There were a lot of cock jokes, too.
Yeah, there were. They really talked about each other's dicks a lot. That was like a really insecure moment for like,
yeah.
For Tango. Because Cash first goes, don't flatter yourself, and looks at him and goes, Pee-wee. And then Cash goes, or Tango goes, I just don't know you very well. Then he like says something of his own. And then he calls him Minnie Mouse. And like he's trying really hard to come up with a name for his dick too. And then at the very end of the movie, Tango is still upset because he calls him Pee-wee again. It wasn't quite along the lines of the Showdown in Little Tokyo.
No.
Which is, like, you know, I give a huge cock, I'm going to suck it, I love you. So, yeah, that sort of thing. Thanks, man. Maybe later.
You get these guys to kill now.
Yeah. You gotta kill these ninjas first.
Always
then
gotta
you can
kill.
Suck my huge cock.
Always gotta kill
them. Okay,
ninjas.
Red eyes.
Red eyes. Good night, people. Down that rock.
How do you think he sold this movie, though?
I think he said it was Soviet Russia, Tango Cash is you.